Hello, welcome to Everton Fans Forum's podcast of monthly updates. This is following our meeting in October. It's myself, Witch. I'm joined by Barry Williams and Rob Fisher. Probably not the best time to talk about Everton at the moment. So you're all feeling it at the moment. The crappy results on the pitch and a bit of frustration that we're all definitely feeling at the moment around a lot of things. But let's, you know, look at some of the issues from October's meeting regardless. So, Rob, I'll start with yourself, mate. Obviously, a big bugbear. We've always got our bugbears, but a big bugbear for a lot of us, and certainly probably for yourself, Rob, as someone who runs a supporter group, all these Premier League fixture changes. Obviously, that's a thing that we've continually pushed, you know, the club on, certainly during my tenure, you know, for it to be at least on time. Rob, do you want to give us a quick update about what was discussed in relation to that?
Yeah, sure, Rich. Thanks, mate. So we discussed about the impact of delays in Premier League fixtures and impact on fans' ability to plan. I think a major example of that was the Chelsea-Man United game, which was last month, which I think they didn't give the kickoff time till like basically about 2-3 weeks before. So the forum, we've joined with the FSA and support groups of other clubs in calling for the Premier League to meet its own deadlines in relation to TV fixtures as well. They missed the deadline by quite some distance on the last one for the Christmas in January. I think it was about 10 days late. And also they didn't even complete because we're still missing the mid-January fixtures. So technically they're still late on that. So we discussed whether they should actually have deadlines or just tell us when the games are, because obviously everyone's expecting these games to be organised and planned in. The club acknowledged the impact and outlines what can be a complex process for Premier League and the stakeholders they are dealing with. And they also reiterated its commitment to consider supporters as well as acting as quickly as possible in announcing fixture changes, which they know impacts us fans and everything. And, you know, they have fought for some fixtures not to be changed, et cetera, that have already been. So, they are in favour of making sure that does happen. Just a quick note on the Arsenal fixture that hasn't been confirmed yet or revised. We're both out of the Carabao Cup now. Obviously, don't want to dwell on that, but we're both out. So there could be a possibility that gets rearranged on future Carabao Cup dates, but obviously that announcement we hope is sooner rather than later.
Thanks for that, Rob. Yeah, totally agree. Look, you know, it's some of these TV companies, sometimes they are taking the proverbial sometimes and not thinking about the match day going fans, and it's not a TV product. It's, you know, it's our game. It means everything to us and messing us around. It's just unfair. So hopefully it does start to improve and certainly doesn't worsen. Barry, obviously, you know, I think that obviously seems to be happening in football, a lot of going towards more of a digital system, but we've certainly been pushing for improvements, because I don't think that ticketing system online has been particularly very good. That's just my personal opinion, but we've been pushing for a variety of different of improvements, and I think we've got a couple of updates, haven't we, on that digital transfer portal.
Yeah, so the portal is now live, and season ticket holders should have received an email on the 25th of October. It's accessed normally, so via the ticketing platform on the website, and it should be available via mobile app soon. The service available is 2 calendar months before the fixtures played. So if you want a December, if you want to put a February game on, it's got to be put on December. Once the fixture is selected, you've got to provide the name and email address for the transfer. Both digital and printable are available if needed. And it's up to 3 hours before kickoff. This can be transferred. And obviously, like we've discussed as well, we've asked about like governance to avoid, you know, abuse of system. So club will be monitoring, like if someone's got a season ticket and then they're selling it, like transferring every game, and then maybe like further implications off that. And then there is also further than provided in the FAQ on the main club website. It's titled Ticket and Transfer Portal FAQs.
Cheers, Baz. And I was speaking to someone actually the other day who'd used that system, and they did said they basically told me it's really, really easy to use. I think work arrangements did change last minute. So I think he wanted to transfer it to his cousin, one of the lads that I know, and he did say it was dead easy to use. It's just, you know, click on the link. So if anyone does use it and you've got any feedback, negative or positive, I think it's always important that we hear that, isn't it, Barry? But you just send it into the forum either via our email address on the club website, or you can contact us via Twitter, or, you know, obviously DM any of us personally and we'll pick that up. Thanks for that, Barry. And there's been some mention, hasn't it, around this is one that I know that we've certainly got a few concerns maybe on this, which is digital away ticketing. Obviously, there was a pilot the other day, I believe, Crystal Palace, when they attended Goodison, piloted the digital away ticketing. Do you want to just run us through that, Barry, about what's going on at the moment with that?
Yeah, so when we've seen it pop up online, we asked the club to update on why they've done it and stuff like that. And it seems it's a Premier League-wide discussion on digital ticketing, you know, to address like security, staffing, obviously ticket touting, and cost issues. So, you know, printing tickets sometimes isn't the best way to do it. And it was Everton who approached Crystal Palace to run the digital trial. From what the club told us, it was successful with positive feedback from both clubs, both on the technical side and the fan experience, with apparently no issues reported. And then the club have shared feedback with other Premier League clubs, and we'll seek to offer the same service to the rest of the clubs that are going to visit Goodison throughout the season. And I think the club are going to pilot this on one of our away games. I think it was between Man City and West Ham. And if there is a pilot, the away tickets will be transferable if required. I think we'll get more info on that in the November meeting.
Yeah, it's one of them, isn't it? It's a bit of an unknown. I know there's been a lot of issues raised online already about it. Yeah, I know certainly attending Goodison at times, I'm starting to worry. I went for a digital ticket this year, and I start to worry about my phone, and that's only for a home game. Do you think it's a potential for some issues there, Barry, in terms of phones and stuff? You know, obviously we have got, I think your dad's an example that you raised, isn't it? You know, people, you know, might not necessarily be able to navigate around the technology as well.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think you've only got to look at yesterday, mate. You know, I was up at 5 o'clock to go to Bournemouth, and the match was 3 o'clock. So my phone's got to be like, I can't call my phone throughout the day until I go to the ground. Because what happens if my phone dies at the match or, you know, in Bournemouth? Like, I can't take my phone charger in the ground. I'm not allowed by law. So I think there's a few problems with it myself, so I'd like to see how the club can address them.
Definitely, you know, elements of you know, looking after maybe some of our more vulnerable fans as well, Rob, isn't there? You know, making sure that their needs are met as well, and we're just assuming everyone can use that technology.
Yeah, I think for what they said with Crystal Palace and going forward, I think it's going to be a small number. I think they're looking for supporters groups or a group of people to sort of be guinea pigs, I suppose you call it, and to do that. But yeah, they would need to check it across all boards. So I think it's a long way from being installed as a for all away fans, but it's certainly something they're looking at, and it could be by choice in the future, whether you want to or not.
Fantastic. Just moving on to season tickets, Rob, stay with yourself. Obviously, it's that time of the year, I suppose, isn't it, where season tickets conversations come up. Got my own very strong opinions on this. But, Rob, do you want to just fire us through what was discussed on the meeting?
Yes, yeah, so very kindly, the club have already opened up discussions with us and other groups such as the FAB about a season ticket process for next season. And Basically, they shared some comparative data on our season ticket prices over the past decade and then also against the other Premier League clubs. Currently, for this season, we're the third lowest average season ticket price in the Premier League, so 18th overall. I suppose that's one table. We don't mind being in that direction of the table. Obviously, we're aware, like everything, the rising costs, similar to households and other businesses. Of course, we know football's a model that is a little bit different in terms of how it pays its employees, particularly the players. So it is a little bit of a different factor. We as a forum asked the club consider our current economic climate, cost of living crisis and impact on supporters when finalising the season tickets for next season. The FAB had requested, we've reiterated that pricing structure communicated in November to allow supporters to plan ahead. All credit options, and including the 12-month direct debit, will remain available. And I believe that starts from the February of next year. So we'd expect the club to announce that, obviously, very shortly in the coming weeks.
Thanks for that, Rob. Yeah, no, and I think, you know, I think that was the key part that you mentioned there about, you know, honestly, you know, we did ask for the club to consider that economic climate and the cost of living. I know personally, you know, bills are just creeping up all the time. You know, I'm lucky enough to be in probably a decent job and I don't have kids. But there's, you know, there's plenty of people who are out there who are really struggling. You know, they're making very real choices. We've got the food banks outside the grounds. You know, that's the reality of the society we're living in. And people might say, well, it's your choice to go to football or not. But football tends to be our lives as fans. You know, it's a distraction away from some of the difficulties that we face in our day-to-day life. You know, and I know certainly the last game, I was looking at my own finances and I was kind of had to make a decision not to go to the game for the first time in a long time, just because I had a load of bills come out this month. So I ended up selling my ticket for the last game. I didn't want to, but I just had to make a conscious choice. And that shouldn't be right. You know, it should be accessible for all. It's always been the working class sport, football, hasn't it? So I think it was quite a passionate debate. And, you know, I think that football, you know, I think, Barry, I think fair to say that, you know, all the issues were raised, you know, football should be accessible for the people on the streets and we shouldn't be priced out of it. So whilst I understand the club's concerns, I think there's an element of also understanding the position the fans are in as well.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you, mate.
So, yeah, thanks for that, Robin. It's certain to say that, you know, obviously that was the kind of push from the forum just to consider the fans, you know, and the situation that they're going through at the moment. So we'll wait for an update from the club. We haven't had any in terms of what that may be at the moment, but see if they'll listen to our pleas for them. So, Rob, over to yourself on retail as well. I've certainly seen you with that Everton Gillett on that you've managed to acquire quite quickly, but apart from a very smart purchase, you want to give us the retail updates?
It's very good, very good. Andy Vernon, of course, who leads the retail project, provided summary of the retail meeting held with partnerships lead on the 5th of October. Credit was given to the club for sorting the Everton women's merchandise now available. That was mainly in line with club, player names and numbers, and merchandise is now finally, and I know Dave, you've been a big part of this, merchandise in stores in Ireland, and accessibility for those has been well received by the supporters, clubs and individuals. Club is responding to availability issues in Norway and look to confirm in-store availability imminently, working closely again with the Norwegian Toffee supporters group with that. And hopefully we'll get the same result as we've had with the Irish merchandise shortly. Forum asked for update in terms of the merchandise for last season at Goodison, which we're presuming is going to be next season with the stadium really going up now, the new stadium. So club will update Forum and review best options on how supporter sentiment can best be considered. But we are looking to be part of that process and and connected to that, asking the wider fan base for their views and everything, so we can make sure it's not appropriate for what will be an emotional last season at Goodison. We also suggested about bespoke flags could be developed for purchase to align with atmosphere plans, which of course Barry will lead from our side of it. Club welcomes supporter ideas and asks forum to canvas feedback. Club to explore options with fanatics and partners once feedback received, where possibility of using unused stock to obviously stay sort of save waste and everything like that. So that's one of the options looked in. And again, we'll no doubt look for supporter feedback from the wider fan base when that gets hopefully sorted.
Thanks for that, Rob. Yeah, and I was speaking to Helga, who's chair from the Norwegian Toffees, just this week actually on WhatsApp, and he was updating me that there's still a block and they still haven't got them the merchandise in the store in Oslo. So I think there's been an issue on the club's side and some of the issues with the stakeholders there. So look, the Norwegian lads are desperate to get the kit over there. It's obviously approaching Christmas. So I hope that they resolve that pretty much soon, because they're missing out on a big opportunity. And there's a lot of passionate Blues out there that want to get their hands on Everton merchandise, and rightly so. Like you say, you know, it would be really interesting what about the flags, actually. We just mentioned, obviously, you know, it's not better when you're looking at Gladders and you're looking over and all them different size flags and, you know, retro ones, new ones, different colours from years gone by. So, you know, the suggestion to the club is to look into that, maybe create bespoke flags so fans could potentially buy and bring to the game. So, fingers crossed. So, if you've got any ideas around that, if you think it's a good idea, just give us a shout, let us know. We'll probably go out with a survey when appropriate as well to see what fans think about that idea. Not for Chang, but Everton for change, Rob. I always go to read it as Everton for Chang. But a couple of updates in relation to the Sustainability Everton for Change campaign.
So the forum network, obviously led by Chris, met with the club on the 18th of October. Productive discussions with the club and consultants to ensure network ideas can feed into club's strategy, obviously leading into the new stadium as well. There is plans for a green match day progressing, although we do believe the Premier League are also maybe considering a green match day as well. So if they don't, we will continue to pursue our own one, which will happen later in the season. But there could be a Premier League-wide campaign in the second half of the season as well. So we'll wait to see what happens with that. But there will definitely be one of those match days, and we'll obviously give you plans for that as and when we know, a few weeks before the match day itself.
Cheers, Rob. Me and Barry have got our tandem ready from Crosby. Or Liverland for me. You can pick me up on the way. Just staying with you, Rob, actually, just before I come back to Baz about the City brands. And do you want to give us a quick update as well about the international memberships? I think there's been a couple of issues about getting some of the stuff to the groups out in Europe, hasn't there?
Yes. Obviously, due to Brexit and, we're postal strikes here, obviously, as well. So there's been some delays on getting out the sort of supporters club gifts, etc., that obviously we've had domestically. So there's been additional fees to collect official EFC membership packages. So they're like when you have the old little note come through the door that you have to go to the post office depot to pick up your signed form mail or your package. They've had to do that abroad, and obviously they have to pay that out of their own pocket. And they're obviously having to receive it quite late as well. So the club explained that the fees seem to be due to customs postage in EU post-Brexit. I think there's definitely problems in like the Netherlands and Denmark, as we mentioned there. Fees also seem to be variable in different countries. So as we say, we're looking at those inquiries. The club is committed to finding best solutions so supporters are not subject to unnecessary additional costs. So we may well look at when they come over here for supporters club games, or maybe some of their members do, that we give them those packages then, rather than posting out and then this situation happening.
Thanks for that, Rob. Yeah, I was gapping to Franco from Denmark's office just before the fixture before last, actually, and he was saying that, yeah, certainly Denmark, they've had a couple of issues there. I know that, so the club, you know, obviously you have got the international wing of the supporters groups now as well that Helga heads up. So I think they're going to take that issue and directly to that group and look to start looking at ways around that. So hopefully we get some progress there. Barry, big thing, City Brandon, in terms of murals. Obviously, it's a thing that's been pushed by Steve Kelly on the forum, and rightly so. He's doing some really good work, getting a bit of traction there. Do you want to just give us a couple of updates in relation to that?
Yeah, so at the last meeting, we submitted further details of where we plan on putting this mural, which I believe is Murphy's Bar on the road. And then, obviously, the club welcomed it. And the progress, and they're also exploring interest from, you know, partner involvement, so the likes of Athletics we're still with, and the likes of Socios and all that. So I think they're going to approach them and see if they want to fund it.
Yes, yeah, I think a lot of Liverpool's ones have been funded, haven't they, by partners? So it'll be interesting. Obviously, there's not been any proposals yet, but certainly they're in conversations with our partners, and we'll hear what they say when they come back and what that entails. But, yep, no decisions made just yet. But let's see what the club can do in terms of funding, because they do cost a lot of money, them as well. It shouldn't really be on fans to pay that, you know, certainly in the situation we're in. So if there is partners out there that want to get involved, or someone listening to this podcast, what a PR opportunity if you've wanting to get involved to something event-related and you've got, you know, you want to maybe fund a mural or offer your business up to, you know, if you've got a sidewall or anything in between that can be used there, just get in touch. Barry, I don't know if you want to talk about the Everton Stadium for us and then just run on to the atmosphere update as well.
Yeah, that'd just be easier, mate. So obviously, there's been an article in The Athletic recently about the Slade trade. It's to do with Bramley Moore. So obviously, the club have been approached for comment, and I think the club have responded to the article and in constant talk with like the head of society and stuff like that. Being honest, Dave, I don't know what else there is.
Yeah, it was, well, it was something I certainly had a good discussion on that was, but, you know, it was obviously the club are aware of it. You know, it's not something that's come as any surprise to them. They've obviously got plans. Some of them plans are published, other parts of them plans are yet to happen. So I think that they've always acknowledged the name, obviously with Bramley Moore and the history of that. So they've been in discussion with a lot of local and prominent historians and also the local council. So they have got plans for it. I think it's right that they do acknowledge that. I'm not going to get into my opinions about that article, but it's good to hear the club have acknowledged it. It's within their plans already. And they have been in discussions actually with the people, you know, that have got, you know, experience and knowledge of this topic, particularly in depth. So hopefully we see something befitting when the stadium's actually erected and functional, which it seems to be getting closer all the time when you drive down Bramley Moor Dock. The atmosphere work's still continuing as well, Barry, isn't it?
Yeah. So you'd have seen at the Leicester game, there was the use of the fan design banner, which was by the 1878. It was dead simple. It was just something that says together, anything is possible. The Leicester game was also the club's remembrance fixture, which those in attendance and who watched on the telly would have seen. And then going forward, I think the atmosphere group will be meeting again post Christmas, I think, to decide to see what plans we can do in the second half of the season.
Fabulous, yeah. No, and I think it's certainly the situation with him. It shouldn't fall on the fans all the time. The players need to get the fingers out the backsides and actually start performing. But, you know, we'll certainly, as we always do, the fans can never be questioned because we always turn up. We always do what we can do to create that better atmosphere. And every single fan at Goodison Park brings the voice, you know, and brings their own to the atmosphere at Goodison. So, lots of exciting stuff that has been happening. Definitely has made a difference, certainly back in the last season. So if you've got any ideas, Baz, in touch with yourself or the 1878s.
Yeah. yeah, just get in touch with me or the 1878 run on all social media channels now. So just approach them approach us via any method possible.
Fabulous. Thank you, Barry. A few people have raised Hogs Half Time Entertainment, Rob. I mean, my half time entertainment tends to be at the bar. But I appreciate that's not everyone's half time. So a couple of ideas have been put forward, haven't they, to about half time in terms of the people who do like to stay pitch side.
Yeah, of course, you've got families there, Dave, who, unlike us, don't go to the bar. So the forum highlighted that on-pitch half-time entertainment has not been as prominent recently. Obviously, things we've had in the past, crossbar challenge, penalty shootouts, home versus away fans. Just trying to think of the others. So remember back in the days when Sky first started.
Mr. Testicles.
Yeah, get a bobble football or something like that. Yeah, and Mr. Tesco's can make an appearance again. The club have asked us to seek feedback from supporters on suitable ideas for entertainment. I know there was one that did raise quite a laugh involving Barry, but I don't think that was appropriate, to be honest with you. Okay, move on.
Yeah, we'll move on from that one. Also just stay with you, Rob, for a couple of updates. Firstly, the new deal for football and a bit of a FAB update.
Yeah, so we had an overview of the FAB meeting. Obviously, we are represented. Tony, our chair, represents the club. So they had their first official club meeting, I think it was last month, wasn't it? So they published that. You can go onto their Twitter and you can see all the developments from that. They have it all on there. They will be seeking support from the forum and getting supportive feedback on any potential return of the ESL, the European Super League proposals, which has reared its ugly head once again, and evolving the new deal for football. Obviously, with all the, we don't want to talk about the government, but with all the changes there, it's kind of had a real stop on this. But obviously, any further developments on that, we will be definitely communicating with the club and the supporter base around that.
Fantastic, Rob. Yeah, and obviously, as you mentioned, we have got a representative on the forum as part of the FAB. So it's something that if you do raise things to us, you know, that we can potentially escalate that to the FAB if needs be, if it falls under that territory. One last update. The NBC Philadelphia Fan Fest sounds like a fantastic event. Rob, do you want to just update us what that is and what
sounds interesting then? Yeah, so the forum thanked the club for its commitment at the event. Tony made his way from Chicago to personally be at the event and said it was a fantastic event and really wanted to thank the club for their participation in making it so. I think it was for the Spurs away game, so it was quite, time-wise, was quite nice for the American fan base to meet up in Philadelphia. Positive feedback from supporters attending, as I say. Club ambassador Graham Stewart was there and really took part, met with a lot of the fans, was there in the network points before and after the game. So I don't know if he brought it around for everyone, but yeah, he was around. And the club thanked the fans for their continued support and informed group of positive feedback from media and Premier League around Everton's attendance US event. And obviously that will lead into the Australia trip, which is many fans. I've seen a few fans already out there. I know a couple I've seen already just reached Australia or on their way there. And Barry's going himself next week. So there's quite a few people going. So we wish them all a great trip. And there's a lot of organisation around that, which the club did send. And it's on the website out last week. And as we mentioned, Australia, we might as well mention that obviously, although you might not want to talk about Everton, the cricket might go down well as we've just won the World Cup over there this morning.
Nice little way to put that in there as well. So yeah, fantastic achievement by England. And Barry, you're out there Tuesday, aren't you? You've been complaining to me already that you've got no time to get your bag sorted, get your bags packed.
Yeah, I go out Tuesday, get there Wednesday evening, and then fly home Friday, I think. Fly home the week Friday, I think. Or the week Thursday, one of them.
There you go. So it never stops supporting this club, does it? Never stops. So obviously I've got that pre-season there as well. And I look, I know obviously we're kind of broke for the World Cup, and obviously it's a bit of a strange time at the moment with a bit of a pre-season within the season. But we will still be meeting with the club last Thursday of the month. We still continue to meet with our focus groups, looking at projects within the forum. On behalf of the fan base. So we will be meeting right the way through. As much as I don't want to even think about Everton at the moment, we're elected to do so. And you know, and make sure that your voices are heard, and that we work on some of the issues that really matter to us all, really, and yourselves. So if there's anything you want raising, just get in touch with us. More than happy to do that. Bring it up and push it, you know. Quite a lot of the time, it might be something that's already on our radar or we've raised in the past, but more than happy to continue to do so. So, Barry, Rob, thanks very much, lads. And thank you all for listening to another Fans Forum monthly podcast update.